Oh, it's just past 7:30, and I told her I'd be home by 7. She took the kids to the babysitter's, and maybe she needed some extra time to get ready for dinner. Well, here's hoping.
Hi, it's me. Sorry I'm late.
Now, let's suppose this man's wife is waiting for him as he walks in. And let's suppose she only says one word. Hi. The tone of her delivery will tell him everything he needs to know about her mood and how the rest of the evening will go. Just one word. Let's listen to 4 different scenarios. As you hear each one, try to describe how his wife is feeling.
Hi, it's me. Sorry I'm late.
Hi.
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 If I were that guy, I'd be rooting for either the first or the last response. The first one which sounded friendly, and the last one which sounded inviting. The second response definitely had an edge of coldness to it, and the third one was flat out angry. How can we know so much from a single word? It's because we get much of our information about what another person is feeling from their vocal tone. And if we could have seen those scenarios, we would have been able to tell a lot from the woman's body language as well. In this segment of the program, we'll be focusing on the first S in caress, which stands for sensing. Listening involves so much more than hearing the words of the other person. I hope you're gaining an appreciation of everything that goes into the complex process of active listening. When we listen, we sense what the other person is intending much more than we're aware of. Many researchers say that less than half of all person-to-person communication comes from the words themselves. Over half comes from the vocal intonation and body language. So to be an active listener, you must be able to perceive messages sent vocally and visually, as well as verbally. As we're growing up, we learn about the nuances of vocal intonation. I'm sure you didn't have much difficulty figuring out what feelings were being expressed by the wife in our scenario. We develop a preconscious understanding of the ways that vocal intonation shapes the message. All kinds of additional meanings can be attached to words. Some are obvious, and some are much more subtle. We'll develop a more sophisticated understanding of vocal qualities in this segment. Then, we'll learn more about how messages are communicated through body language. An individual gesture can have a variety of implications, and a cluster of gestures can give you some important information about the other person's state of mind. You know, the human eye can see over 1,000 different shades of color. We could probably also sense 1,000 different feeling tones if we had words for all of them. I'm going to say a list of words that describe a variety of feeling tones that can be conveyed by a person's voice. Again, I'm not talking about the words a person chooses to use. I'm talking about how these feelings can be conveyed through vocal tone. I'll say this list slowly. See if you can get a feel for each one. A human voice can sound affectionate, contented, delighted, pleased, hopeful, excited, happy, proud, turned on, relieved, competent, grateful, accomplished, satisfied, angry, anxious, worried, apathetic, afraid, bored, disillusioned, discouraged, depressed, disappointed, hostile, irritable, frustrated, misunderstood, tired, and vengeful. You, as the listener, can detect any one of those 30 different feeling states and many more if you're actively listening and trying to sense what the other person is feeling. Let's try a brief exercise which should prove to you that you can sense emotion from a single word. We'll use the word O. You'll hear the same person saying O in different ways. Quickly think of a word or two that describes the feeling that's being conveyed. Ready?
Oh!
That sounds like excitement to me.
Oh.
That sounds like, oh, not peas again. Maybe aversion or disgust.
Oh.
Sounds like that person is bored, as in, oh, how interesting.
Oh?
That's a questioning, oh, isn't it?
Oh!
She just realized something or remembered something she forgot.
Oh!
That's the sound of enthusiasm or passion, as in, oh, I love that music. With simple changes in vocal qualities, the same person just conveyed six distinct feelings. This demonstrates how critical vocal intonation is in communication. Now we're going to hear 10 statements with varying vocal tones and emotional intensity. Try to quickly come up with a word or two that describes the tone of what you're hearing. Don't be fooled by the words the speaker's saying. Listen for the feeling tone. Here we go.
I met him last week, and I think he'd be perfect for the position. I hope he decides to come with our company.
That ad campaign looks great, Jack. I'm sure it'll be a winner.
This is my first speech to a group that size. I've been preparing all month. I'm ready.
I thought she really trusted me to do my job. But then she questioned me on a really simple decision.
When I got home, I got the surprise of my life.
I can see this is going to take longer than you thought.
It'll work out. Just you wait and see. We'll make the deadline.
Now I've got the goods on you, you creep.
I knew it was going to be hard. I'll just have to try harder.
How's your meal tonight, folks? Everything all right?
I like the style and the color, but I'm not so sure about the safety features.
Well, how did you do? Do you think you were able to accurately identify and label the feeling tone that was expressed in each one? Let's review a few of the more difficult ones.
That ad campaign looks great, Jack. I'm sure it'll be a winner.
The words she's saying are encouraging, but what does her tone convey? Just the opposite, right? She doesn't think the ad campaign's a winner. What do you suppose Jack heard? If he's convinced he's got a winner and simply wants reinforcement, he'll hear only the words and not the tone. That's what he wants to hear. But if he's looking for honest feedback, he'll hear the tone and know that she's really not feeling optimistic about his work. Let's listen to another one.
This is my first speech to a group that size. I've been preparing all month. I'm ready.
Is this man really ready? He's probably as ready as he'll ever be, but his voice certainly belies his words. In both of these examples, it's obviously important that you hear the real message of what's being said, not just the words. How about this one?
How's your meal tonight, folks? Everything all right?
Do you really believe this waiter is concerned about how you're enjoying your meal? I don't think so. If everything's not all right, you probably won't get much satisfaction by telling him so. Let's review one more of our examples.
I like the style and the color, but I'm not so sure about the safety features.
Let's say that you're a car salesman and this man's a prospective buyer. What are you hearing? Overall, you're hearing his ambivalence. People sometimes convey both positive and negative feelings in the same breath. So your challenge is to maximize his interest while minimizing his apprehension. A basic question to ask yourself when you're consciously evaluating a speaker's voice is this. Is there congruence between the words and the voice tone, or do they contradict each other? Maybe the consistency falls somewhere in between. The words and tone are not a perfect match, but they're also not totally contrary to each other. That tells you a lot about the person's true feelings, feelings they may not be conscious of at all. There's a term used by linguists that helps to explain the two levels of a speaker's communication. The words convey a message, and the feeling tone conveys a meta message. When someone says, I'm not angry at you, and his tone is just the opposite, anger is the meta message. If someone says something casual like, see you later, or let's get together, the words give you one level of information, but the meta message becomes even more important than the words. From the meta message, we can deduce the other person's attitude about seeing us later or whether he really wants to get together. The meta message can be, I sincerely like you, or I'm flirting with you, or I'm angry with you, or I really don't care about you, or a dozen other possibilities. The meta message conveys the social meaning of the person's words. This is where arguments can happen. How many times have you heard something akin to, it's not what you said, but the way you said it?
I told you I love you. What more do you want?
You don't say it like you mean it.
I said it, didn't I?
Yeah, but there's no feeling there.
Here's another one.
It's not that you asked me to pick up my clothes off the floor. It's the way you said it.
I simply asked you to do what you agreed to do.
Yeah, but you sounded like you were speaking to a 4-year-old.
What both of those examples demonstrate is a contradiction of message versus meta-message. Some people rely on the strength of their meta-message rather than the words to communicate what they're really feeling. It might be nice if everyone maintained consistency between the message they deliver and an appropriate meta-message, but that's not the case in the real world. Sometimes people can't use the words they'd like to use because doing so would cause harm to a relationship. So they let the meta message carry their real feelings. How do meta messages get delivered? How do we shape our vocal tone to carry so much weight in a conversation? We do it by altering one or more of the 7 major vocal qualities that affect intonation. Let's listen to descriptions of each of the 7 qualities.
Resonance is the ability of one's voice to fill a space. Theater actors and public speakers need resonance in their voices to reach the back rows. This is not the same as volume. Resonance is the ability to have the voice reverberate in the chest and throat before it leaves the mouth.
A voice with no resonance comes only from the mouth and sounds thin.
The rhythm of a voice means its flow. A voice can have a nice smooth flow or it can sound choppy and lack the meta message of self-confidence.
The speed of a person's speech can be normal,
can be very fast,
or can be agonizingly slow.
The pitch of a voice is its highness or lowness. When we get nervous, our voice tends to go up the scale. When we want to sound authoritative or powerful, we try to push our voices down in pitch.
The volume of a person's voice is how loud
or how quiet it is.
Inflection is the musical aspect of voice. A voice can be full of inflection, which means certain words or parts of words get a high or low emphasis.
Or a voice can be boringly monotone with little inflection, no life. No music.
And finally, there's clarity, the crisp articulation and enunciation of words, especially the consonants. The opposite of clarity is mumbling, where the mouth and tongue are lazy and the ends of sentences trail off.
These 7 aspects of voice are normally invisible. We don't think about them until someone noticeably changes one or more of them in the course of a conversation. Even then, we don't say, why did the pitch of your voice go up? We might say, why are you angry? The way in which a person varies any or all of the 7 vocal qualities can significantly change the feeling of the message. For instance, affection is demonstrated vocally by using upward inflection, more resonance, low volume, and slow speed.
Darling, I love you.
Anger is captured by loud volume, tense rhythm, and irregular inflection.
I think this whole thing stinks, and I'm out of here.
Someone who's depressed speaks with lower volume, descending inflection, and a lack of clarity.
I just don't know what I'm going to do about him. He
Al's got to make up his own mind.
Cheerfulness is expressed with somewhat high volume, fast speed, and irregular inflection.
Hey, it's great to see you. I didn't know you were in town. When did you get in?
People who are impatient give it away in their high-pitched, fast voice.
Do you have that report done yet?
Someone who's feeling defensive lets you know with a voice that tenses up and has little resonance and a choppy rhythm.
I have no idea where that report went. I put it on her desk an hour ago.
If someone's trying to hide a feeling of sadness, you can sense it in their voice if you're listening. They have low volume, their voice is resonant, their speed is slow, and their inflection is mainly descending.
I plan to go watch Debbie in her dance class, and I guess I'll be home after that.
We all know the sound of disbelief. High pitch and drawn-out words.
You say you won the lottery today?
When a person's satisfied, it shows in a voice that has an even rhythm and normal speed and pitch.
That meal was really good. I'd like to come here again soon.
Some kinds of vocal intonations are easy to spot whether you know the person or not. For instance, we all recognize anger, joy, and passion when we hear them. But many more intonations are subtle and are dependent on the personality of the speaker. The vocal characteristics of a person expressing boredom might be the exact same vocal characteristics of another person speaking in their normal tone. In order to really pick up on subtle meta-messages in a person's voice, you need to be familiar with their normal speaking voice. Only then will you be able to spot the changes which communicate subtle feelings. We've all had the experience of phoning a longtime friend and knowing immediately that something's wrong by the tone of their voice, sometimes just by the way they said hello. That's because we're so familiar with their normal speaking voice that we can easily detect variations. That's not true with people who are only acquaintances or those we're just meeting for the first time. But if you start to pay closer attention to a person's voice as they're speaking, you'll begin to pick up those subtle meta-messages. Let's listen to a scenario in which Al, a salesman, has been trying to sell his line of umbrellas and rainwear to a department store buyer in his company's hometown. But the buyer, Joan, always turns him down and instead buys her store's rainwear products from Al's major competitor 1,000 miles away. Al is dropping in for his semi-annual visit to see Joan.
Hi, Joan. How's business?
Pretty good. Things are turning around finally. Sales were up 2% last month.
Good. Listen, I'll bet if you put some of our raincoats and umbrellas in your women's department, sales would improve even more.
I doubt that. They're not that much different from Rain Gear's products.
I hear what you're saying, and that's the point I want to make today. We can match Rain Gear's line item for item, and we have more colors and our umbrellas are better made. Have you looked at our new Pennies from Heaven line of light rainwear in the brochure that I sent you?
No, I haven't. I don't think in general that your designs are as interesting. I don't like the bright colors. I don't think the quality is as good as Rain Gear's, and I don't think you do as good a job of supporting the items with national advertising.
Well, I appreciate that you've taken the time to compare our products with Rain Gear's, and you seem to have decided that we lose in every comparison. Is there any way that I can go over those comparisons with you and we could really compare apples with apples?
No, I really don't have the time.
Joan, I've been coming here twice a year for over 5 years now. When I meet you at a business luncheon or we run into each other with our kids in the park, you sound friendly and upbeat when we talk. But when I bring up our company's products, even in casual conversation, you sound tense and distant. I've got the feeling that you're not telling me everything you're feeling about our company.
You're right, Al. It's probably time I did. Your products are pretty much the same as Rain Gear's, and we'd save some shipping costs if I ordered them from you. But I can't stand the creep who runs your company.
Aha! The real reason finally comes out. Because Al was able to discern a difference in Joan's voice from her usual style, he knew something was up. Was it simply that she wasn't interested? She could have said that in a friendly way. But the tightness in her voice gave Al a signal that she had other feelings she wasn't sharing. Al could try to convince Joan of the quality of his goods, the size of his marketing budget, and the total quality management style of his company. But none of that would have made any difference because her stated concerns were not her real ones. Al sensed that there was some anger and resentment in her voice because he was familiar with her usual vocal characteristics. Now, at least, he could deal with the real reason she wasn't ordering rainwear from him and maybe find a way to meet her concern about the company's president. But he never would have been able to do that if he'd been intent on simply meeting the concern she stated. He needed to listen carefully and sense the meta message of her communication before he could get anywhere in this sale. Now we've uncovered a second level of communication in what another person is saying to us, the meta message of their feelings. Sensing the nuances of vocal intonation is one of the primary ways of detecting the meta message. The other is through observing body language, which we'll get to shortly. But with this new information, we need to broaden our notion of how to respond to that person. Do we simply respond to the words, or do we respond to the feelings being communicated as well? We've already discussed how to respond to feelings when they're expressed openly. But what about when we sense the speaker's feelings, but he or she is not acknowledging them? If you decide that you would like to respond to someone's meta message because it's not in congruence with what they're saying, there are two things to consider. First, what are your intentions in raising the issue? And second, what words are you going to use? First, let's deal with your intentions. Do you think that mentioning your perception of the meta message will enhance the relationship? Will it lead to greater understanding between the two of you? Are you mentioning it because you want to show a kind of superiority in being able to read other people? Do you want to give this person some advice? Do you want to offer support because you're sensing that this person is concealing some kind of pain? Or do you simply want to probe a bit to open a pathway to more honest exchange? That last intention of probing for a more honest exchange was Al's intention with Joan in that earlier vignette. He decided to risk the relationship because after 5 years of being turned down, he had nothing to lose. So, step one in deciding if you should address a person's feelings rather than their words is to determine your intention. If you can honestly answer to yourself that your intention is to enhance the relationship, open up a new level of discussion, or give the person useful feedback or support, then you might decide to risk it. And I do mean risk. Not everyone welcomes an uncovering of their hidden feelings. You risk embarrassing the other person. They may have to look at some painful issues they'd rather not confront. You could cause the conversation to end abruptly. And don't forget, you could wrongly label their meta message. That brings up consideration number two, how you word your response. We discussed earlier under R of the Caress model that responses to a person's feelings should begin tentatively. We use the three-step model for feeling feedback. First, make a tentative statement. Second, define the feeling. And third, put the feeling into its situational context. You can begin with phrases such as, "It seems to me," "If I understand what you said," "I get the impression that," and so on. After introducing your response with a tentative opening, then you can define the feeling, being careful not to label it too harshly. It's better to say, "I sense that you're annoyed by him," rather than "you're angry at him." Or, "It seems that you might be confused by that," rather than saying, "you seem to be completely in the dark." With good intention and a gentle use of words, you can come up with a response that reveals your perception in an empathic way. Let's listen to someone who's not revealing their true feelings, and then we'll hear some responses that attempt to bring those feelings out.
"I've lived in this city for 5 years now, and I still don't know anybody. I've tried a lot of different ways to meet people, going to singles dances, helping with Toys for Tots, buying a yearly subscription to the theater. But I don't feel close to anyone. I think most everyone is out for themselves. No one appreciates good old-fashioned friendship in this place."
After actively listening to this person, you could simply agree or disagree with her conclusion that there's something amiss with the people in her city. But let's say that you're going to take a risk and respond to her meta message, which is feeling inferior, lonely, and not worthy of friendship. Here are some sample responses.
It sounds as though you're feeling isolated and alone here because people aren't reciprocating your friendship. Is that true?
I get the impression that you'd really like to have some friends to hang out with. Maybe your approach isn't working.
It sounds to me as though people haven't been friendly to you, especially since you've been reaching out to them. You may feel that people don't like you. Is that what's really bothering you?
Obviously, that last response was the most risky. He couched it in tentative language very well, but it was the most direct in terms of labeling what her underlying feelings might be. Therapists know you can't force someone to acknowledge deep feelings before they're ready to. Most people will react defensively. If you decide to take a risk and try to explore the underlying feelings you perceive, you must be sure to use tentative language and do so with the intention of enhancing the relationship in some way. The skill of sensing someone's underlying emotions takes time to develop. A few people seem gifted with the ability to tune into and feel an empathy with the feelings of others, even with complete strangers. But most of us have to hone this skill in order to catch the more subtle levels of a dialogue. On the next cassette side, we'll discuss another avenue for detecting subtle feelings by observing the other person's body language. Now we know there's always more to communication than the words that meet the ear. By developing the ability to detect and label those other levels of communication, you can consistently respond appropriately to the subtle messages you receive.